Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We don't have Notorious yet. He is busy here at the Combine, but will be with us.
A man in demand.
He is a man in demand. Now, he obviously were his number one priority, but he's got to get a transcribed something. I don't know what he was talking about. Something crazy going on. But I will tell you this. We'll get him here. Now, the last guy we had on, Jason Cole, he was all about Carson Wentz to the Browns. The next guy we're going to talk to, who I respect a lot, former Cleveland Brown, former scout in the NFL, guy who I think is one of the stars at ESPN, Lewis Riddick, and I talked about the quarterbacks.
We're here in Indianapolis at the Combine with a former Cleveland Brown, a former NFL scout, and a current ESPN NFL insider, Lewis Riddick. Lewis, thanks for being with us here today.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, you know the Browns. What do they need? A quarterback. They have the number two pick in this draft. Yeah. Let's start top level. What would you look for in a franchise quarterback? What are the most important traits to you?
Well, you know, obviously when you have to start off the field, and I think in particular when you're talking about the Cleveland Browns, you guys know how important that is. And it's one of those things that people talk about, but I think because we're so enamored with data and statistics and just looking at something on paper that we can all put our hands on, we don't really pay it the respect that it needs. And that is absolutely critical, that relationship between the player and the head coach, the player and ownership, the player and the community, the trust that you have to have in that guy. They have to make sure that you have that nailed to a T. And if there are any holes or gaps or any kind of like things that worry you about that, you better make sure before you draft them, especially when you're talking about in the first round, especially when you're talking about in the top five in particular, which is where they're picking now. So they have to make sure of that first and foremost. Secondly, when it just comes to the position, the smartest quarterback teachers that I've ever been around have said that the quarterback position is always about decision-making and accuracy. And that encompasses a lot. But decision-making off the field, decision-making in the huddle, decision-making once the ball is snapped, how he prepares, and accuracy. Put the ball where it needs to be put so your other guys can do their work. That's really what it boils down to. But, you know, under those things, there's a lot to consider there. Hugh Jackson has a lot on his plate to make sure that they get that position right. Because the truth of the matter is, in this draft, where they're picking, a quarterback is not going to be the second best player in this draft. It's going to be someone else. There's other players that are better than these quarterbacks. But because it's such a position of need and it's so critical and it's what is hamstringing your organization in that city along with a bunch of other things, you're almost forced to do it. So now that puts even more pressure on making sure you get it right. So now, look, I don't envy the position that they're in, and I'm sure all of you are sitting there going, "Hilk, man, we got to get this right because we've got it wrong so many times. We'll see what happens."
So when you watch the tape, who was the one where accuracy, decision-making stood out to you?
Yeah, Jared Goff is the guy for me because I think he's the best passer in this draft. He can put it wherever you need to at all three levels of the field, vertically, short, intermediate, deep. He can stretch the field horizontally. Very advanced, even though he plays in not typically a pro-style offense, very advanced at being able to manipulate defenses post-snap with his eyes, with pump fakes, with looking off. Those are the kind of things that you kind of look for to separate some of these guys. Carson Wentz, obviously, physically is the most talented.
Right.
I mean, 6'5", almost 240 pounds. Just a big kid who's got a howitzer for an arm. There's so many things that are unknown about him that you won't know until you get him there. You just won't, and anybody who tells you they can figure it out now is lying to you. He's an unknown, but it's enticing. And why is it enticing? Because it's the most important position in all sports. But if I'm, for my money right now, just knowing what I know, if I had to pick a quarterback, I'm going to take Jared.
And do you get the sense that the transition in the NFL, the way the passing game is evolving, that, yes, having the physical traits, as long as you have the requisite physical traits, sure, the most important thing is what you can do in terms of processing information?
There's no question about it. And every quarterback who's the great quarterbacks of this in this game will always tell you that. There's a lot of guys who can throw it a mile. I've played with them. I've scouted guys, sure, who could throw the ball from here to Mars. Some of them couldn't tell you what 2 + 2 is, though. Some of them could tell you what 2 + 2 is, but once you start hitting them in the head and it's in the fourth quarter and you're on the road and it's cold and your left tackle goes down and your number one receiver goes out, they couldn't handle that kind of pressure. And all those things come into it. It's not just about, you know what, one of the things I'll tell you this, at this time of year that I get so tired of hearing is arm talent,
right,
arm talent, physical, right, traits, arm talent. as John Fox, I believe, said here yesterday, it's hard to determine what's in the left side of your chest and what's between your ears, because there's no test to really figure that out here. And more times than not, when you figure that out, more times than not, it's when it's too late if they don't have it. And usually when they do figure it out, you do figure it out, and it's a positive, you go, thank God. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty of this game.
Absolutely. And the Browns, they've had guys star him talent, Brandon Whedon, but they're
right.
Looking for the guy that can do it all.
That's right.
As you say, I know you're busy, so one last one here. How valuable is it for whoever the Browns end up selecting at quarterback to have a guy like Hugh Jackson as the head coach and the play caller, given his success with the quarterback position in the past?
Well, it's huge. You know, there's a lot of people who can call plays and who can diagram it up and who can scout out a defense and put you in the right positions. But it's about relationships. That's the key. He was a relationship builder when it comes between coach and player, especially at that position. His track record speaks for itself. That has what has enabled him to get a head coaching job primarily. Look at Adam Gase, who got a head coaching job down in Miami, his relationship with Jay Cutler, his relationship with Peyton Manning. That's what really makes the difference at that position, is how does the head coach or coordinator or quarterback coach, how does that whole faction get along? Because it has to be rock solid again. And these are all the things that aren't data-driven.
Right.
These are all the subjective things that we're talking about here. As much as you want to objectify football, you can't. The nuance is what makes the difference, and they have to get that part right more so than anything.
Lewis, thanks so much for your time.
You got it, bud. Yeah.
That's a great Lewis Riddick, a guy that I learn something from every time I see him on ESPN's NFL Insiders, a guy that is a former scout, very, very astute.
He is a rising star.
I think he is.
I mean, he is fantastic when he is on. He knows his stuff. He's not afraid. He doesn't mix words.
And who's his guy?
Goff.
Goff. That's right. So we've heard, and that's good. You get to hear two different opinions there.
Goes back to what we said at the start of the show. That literally this building is divided 50-50 as to who the Browns should take at the quarterback.
It really is, which makes me feel better about both of them. I'm going to remain steadfast in my Goffdom. I'm not going anywhere. But it does make me feel a little bit better if Hugh and Sashi decide to go in a different direction, Andrew Berry, if they decide that Carson Wentz is the guy for them. I think it just comes down to what matters the most to you. You have the guys. There's a group of scouts and a group of talent evaluators that I put, not that I'm a scout or a talent evaluator, that I put myself in terms of what I look for in a quarterback, and that to me is much more, as long as you have the requisite skills, it's what's going on between your ears, how you can process information, how accurate you are with the football. And then there's a group that is concerned much more with just the pure physical traits. Now, Carson Wentz has checked all the boxes, blown people away in interviews in terms of his leadership, as a guy who had a 4-0, so that is he is good there. The tape shows that Goff is a little bit more advanced. That's why everybody agrees, even those who like Wentz agree, Goff's a little more pro-ready day one. People think that Wentz has the higher ceiling, so it just depends what you're looking for. Which
we
is good, though.
See.
It does
yeah.
seem like when I came, as I've been going through this, I thought it was Goff or bust. And in my evaluation, that's the way that I do look at it. I am taking Goff. But other people whose opinions I greatly respect and trust are making it seem to me that if Wentz is the guy, it can very much work out very well. Just like Oakland is happy, just like Minnesota's happy, and Jacksonville are all happy.
And while we're talking about quarterbacks, you know, everybody making a big deal about number two, but I'm all right if they go with another quarterback at some point in the draft as well.
Yeah, I talked about that. They can take two quarterbacks.
3, 4, 5, or 6 in the rounds.
Yeah.
Take one. Take another one.
Listen, I got 10 in chance.
All right.
42 on the Wunderlich.
I
would sign.
Wilhelm's back on the mainland. I can't wait to talk about that on Monday.
I'd sign for half of the league minimum. Could they even do that? A quarter of the league minimum.
I would do that. I would be a practice guy. I have no problem for that.
No problem at all. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Carson Wentz. First opportunity to hear right from him as he addressed the media yesterday here at the Combine. We'll play that press conference for you when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the Scouting Combine in lovely Indianapolis.
Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, we are back here in Indianapolis. And again, for the Browns, all the focus on the quarterbacks. Seems to be a two-horse race. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. We heard from Jared Goff yesterday. Now, let's hear from Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of what I expected, you know, going in to show that what I'm capable of. But I think to a lot of people, it showed that I can handle that game speed. You know, obviously, there's still going to be a big jump going forward. But that was probably the big question. Everyone wants to know, can he adjust to, well, he's playing FCS ball. All these guys are FBS guys. You know, I think I went in there and proved that I can handle that. I never did. You know, I'm a very confident player, and I know what I'm capable of, but, you know, I know a lot of people had that question, so I was excited to go prove that. Say that again? We'll keep those on hold for a while. How about that? Yeah, it was just, we were all the freshmen were back in the dorms over our, we called it winter camp, as everyone else was back home for Christmas. So we had the dorm to ourselves, and, you know, we had a little fun.
Carson, you seem to have come a long way very fast. Do you feel like life is speeding up?
A little bit, but, you know, it's always been a dream. You know, I view this as every day is just an opportunity to, and I'm, you know, I'm grateful. I'm excited as heck to keep playing ball for sure, so. So at North Dakota State, we were pro style, under center quite a bit, huddle up. But, you know, over the last couple of years, we got really multiple with that. We ended up doing a lot of different stuff out of the gun, still stayed true to our power football play action pass. But then there was more of me running the ball a little bit as well. I think that'll help me tremendously going forward. You know, I had a lot, was in charge of a lot at the line of scrimmage, changing plays, run checks, you know, all sorts of fun stuff like that. But obviously, there's going to be a jump. You know, the NFL playbook's probably twice the size of what we did, you know, or more. And I'm excited for that. You know, I'm a student of the game. I love learning football, so I'm excited to learn that.
Carson, how ready do you feel to play right away as a rookie? What do you think are some of the challenges that you face?
Well, I think right away, you know, the biggest challenge that myself, you know, anybody standing up here on this podium is going to say is just adjusting to that speed. You know, you put on some NFL tape or you watch Monday Night Football, Sunday games, whatever, you realize these guys are playing fast, you know. And so you got to adjust right away and learn to adapt pretty quick, and I'm excited for that opportunity.
But you can't do that without live competition between now and training camp. How do you convince teams that you can do that, you know, before that happens?
Yeah, you know, I mean, for one, all you can go off of right now is what I've done in the past, you know, what's been put on the tape. So to speak. So I think that speaks for itself quite a bit. And, you know, you come into these meetings, you show what you're capable of learning, how quick you're able to adjust and acquire information and spit it back out and learn and understand. And, you know, that's really all you can do. Yeah, I think the success of guys like Joe Flacco or Tony Romo or, you know, the list goes on, whether it's quarterbacks or other position players, you know, there's a lot of talented individuals at the FCS level that can play. And especially a guy like Flacco coming in early right away as a rookie and winning some ball games, I think shows that, you know, that adjustment can be made by special players for sure. Yeah, you know, I'm not big on speculating about that. You know, I don't really pay a ton of attention to the other guys. I'm really focused on myself and being the best I can be. You know, I believe in myself. I'm confident. I believe in myself to be a franchise quarterback. But, you know, that's for all the opinions really only matter for, you know, you guys all have fun stuff to write about. And then the teams, that's really all that matters. So. I think first and foremost, you got to win. And I think being a winner in the NFL, you know, that'll take you places for sure. I think for me, coming out of North Dakota State, you know, I think the track record speaks for itself as a winner. So when I think of a franchise quarterback, not only do I think of the physical ability, but I think of, being a winner, winning ball games, taking command, being a leader, all those things really come to mind. Yeah, you know, I mean, you got to adjust to all those things. You know, the receivers are going to get faster, the DBs are going to get faster, your anticipation, your timing's all got to speed up. And, you know, there's only one way to prove that, and that's by doing it. So.
Have you spent some time with the Cowboys? feel like you'd be a good fit with that coaching staff, that team?
You know, I enjoyed my time. You know, I enjoyed my time with that staff. I had time to talk to the Jaguars staff as well and plenty of other staffs also. So I think there's a lot of good coaches. You can tell these guys, they know football, and that's what I love. I love talking football. I love just gaining knowledge and being able to just talk ball. So I'm excited for whatever staff chooses me. Yeah, you know, my preparation is going to be the same no matter where I go, no matter what situation I'm in. You know, you got to go in there and prove yourself. You got to earn the respect. I don't think, no matter if you go into a situation with a Hall of Famer in front of you or a situation with nobody in front of you and it's supposedly given to you, I don't think that's true. You know, you got to earn every bit of it, and, you know, that's how I'm going to handle that situation, whatever exactly situation comes. You know, it was always a dream, you know, but I knew I took it one day at a time. You know, I didn't think, you know, from today to 2 years, this is where I'm going to be. You know, I didn't think like that. It was a goal, but, you know, I was always just one day at a time trying to get better. I mean, I knew, you know, obviously I only started for 2 years in college. I knew I had to make the most of the opportunities, and I thought I did the best I could. Yeah, my involvement with them has been very similar with, you know, the other teams. I don't want to get into specifics with that. You know, I don't like to think of it like that. I'm just here to try and showcase who I am and what I'm capable of doing. So I'm excited for wherever I end up.
Carson, a lot of the coaches have talked about hand size and how important it is to them. How important is it for you that maybe, I think you have the second biggest hand in the combine? Did you make much of that?
Not really. You know, I think it's something cool to talk about or whatever. Gives you guys something fun to write about. But, you know, I think it's just another measurement that they do here just because.
Can you give us an idea of what teams have expressed interest in you here?
I cannot. I mean, you guys are all probably aware of what's going on there just as much as I am. So, you know, you end up talking to almost all 32 teams throughout the process. So no one really shows their hand. That's not how it works. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, here trying to show the best version of myself.
Where are you training?
Where am I training?
Yeah.
I'm in Irvine, California, Southern Cal. Just working on, you know, a little bit of everything, obviously speed and strength stuff for today or for Saturday, I should say, but then also just consistently refining footwork, watching more NFL film and working on a lot of board work and everything. So pretty much the same stuff probably everybody else is doing, getting ready. So. I think just consistency with my footwork has gotten a lot better from junior to senior year, and now even from the January 9th game in Frisco, Texas to where I'm at today. I think that's just continued to get refined more and more, and it's something that, you know, I'll continue to keep working on going forward. You know, as a competitor, you know, everyone wants to be the top guy, no doubt about it. But, you know, what matters to me is a team that picks me, that believes in me. You know, I want to go in somewhere that, you know, they believe in myself to be that franchise quarterback, whether right away or down the road. And, you know, that's what's important to me. And I want to go into a good situation, get good coaching, and, you know, just keep playing ball. Yeah, Scotty Miller, for those of you that don't know, was pretty much the voice of the Bison over the past couple, for the past long time. You know, I got to know Scotty over the last 2 years really well. Battled cancer for a while, and that guy was just an awesome guy, an amazing person. You know, I almost teared up this morning when I heard he passed away, but I knew he was struggling, and I know he's in a better place, so I'm just thoughts and prayers are with that family for sure. What was the first part of that?
To not have a playbook at the Senior Bowl. What do you think Garrett was trying to get across by that with you guys?
I guess I'm not. We did have a playbook.
Michigan
so.
State Center, Jack Allen, table one.
I mean, it was a little different, but we had a form of playbook, but, you know, we took lots of notes nonetheless, so.
How much thought have you put into potentially being like the face of a franchise, the
Texas A&M guard Joe Cheek, table two. Texas A&M guard Joe Cheek, table two.
How much thought? You know, not a ton. You know, I understand it all comes with the territory. And I'm excited for all those opportunities, but at the end of the day, I'm really focused on first and foremost this weekend, and then just every opportunity that I get to really prove myself. Well, for one, to be compared to anybody in the NFL is obviously quite an honor. You know, those guys have already proven themselves. We're all just college kids coming out, trying to make a name for ourselves. So those comparisons, everyone's going to throw their comparisons out there. I think it's tough to really put a guy and say this is who he's like or he's like this guy and put him in a box. I don't think that's fair to myself or to anybody else. But hearing those comparisons, obviously, like I mentioned, I just have nothing but respect for the guys that all the names that have been thrown out there. So it's always cool. The outdoors. I mean, some people might know it, some people don't, but you know, the great outdoors, a lot of hunting and fishing, wide open land. I love it out there. It'll always be home, no matter where I go. North Dakota will always be home, and I'll always love it.
Is football going to kind of mess that up for you? You're not going to be able to probably hunt?
There's always an off season for that, that's for sure.
Okay,
thanks, guys.
That was Carson Wentz, an impressive guy, handled the media very well for a guy at North Dakota State to come and be on the big stage like this. I'm sure his time at the Senior Bowl was helpful in preparation for it, but I thought he did a good job up there, Gibbs.
Handled himself real well. Got some additional brownie points from a lot of national analysts and media saying, you know, really this first chance to get up there in front of everybody and get grilled. And that's what it is. I mean, you're getting questions fired at you right and left. And I thought Goff was good. A little sass, a little snark, you know, something along those lines. It was all good. But Carson Wentz handled himself very, very well.
Yes.
And both those guys, you know, we talk about stature. Both those guys are pretty well put together when you see them up there. I mean, they're not.
Yeah, people. It's so funny. People are saying, well, Wentz is so big and Goff so little. Goff's still 6'4". He's a big guy. He's got broad shoulders. I imagine when he gets through his career, he's going to weigh a lot more than 215. But it's just funny. This is not. None of these guys are Johnny Manziel, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees size. These are 6'4". Matt Ryan.
Exactly.
That kind of size. Both of them big guys. All right, when we come back, quickly we'll hear from Sal Palantonio. Plus, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. First opportunity to call up with your questions on our final day here live from the Combine in Indianapolis. Again, 216-578-0850 is Gurren Gibbs on CBD.
Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the Combine in Indianapolis. And we talked with a lot of people this week, and we're going to talk with Sal Palantonio from ESPN, and he's going to tell you one reason to be optimistic about the Browns.
Nathan Zgura here at the Combine with ESPN's Sal Palantonio. Sal, thanks for being with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, they've been in business for about a month and a half now. What have you seen from this Browns organization in that time?
You know, it's tough to figure out what impact he's going to have. I think it's a grand experiment. We're all anxious to see whether it works. You know, and listen, we've been around long enough to know that if the team doesn't have a franchise quarterback, it's not going to go very far. So I like analytics. I think it's important to have as much information as possible in order to build your football team. But you got to have a leader. You got to have a field general. What I really like is Hugh Jackson. I think, you know, he's an adult. He's sort of like Todd Bowles in New York. The Jets needed Todd Bowles after Rex Ryan. I think Hugh Jackson is needed in Cleveland after the years of turmoil, after the Johnny Manziel experiment has gone awry.
He's a guy who knows the AFC North, can relate to players, and knows quarterbacks, which you talked about is the key there. Any buzz you're hearing on this number two overall pick and just these quarterbacks in general?
You know, there's a major difference of opinion because there's no real blue chipper at the quarterback position. Mel Kiper Jr., has the Browns taken Carson Wentz? Are Lou Riddick, who I really respect, worked in the Eagles front office, has the Browns taking Jared Goff and thinks they should take Jared Goff because in Lou Riddick's words, he's the best pure passer in this draft. So a lot of difference of opinion, but they got to take a quarterback. And like you said, about Hugh Jackson, knows the AFC North, can relate to players, can lead, knows how to coach offense, presumably knows how to coach quarterbacks. So you asked me the big picture question. I think the Browns are moving in the right direction.
We certainly hope so. And now you talk about this young quarterback. It's important to protect a young quarterback. And for the Browns, Mitchell Schwartz, free agent. We know Alex Mack, rumored to be opting out. Have you heard anything on those fronts? And can they retain those guys?
I think that they can. You know, the salary cap balloons each year, and it's getting larger and larger. Teams that manage it well can afford players. There's a lot of money out there. Each team has a lot of money. So I think if they want to and the players want to stay, they'll stay.
And hopefully that will be the case. Sal, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate
it. Thank you. All right.
That was ESPN's Sal Palantonio, and he cites Hugh Jackson really as the reason to be excited about the Browns this year.
Well, I think a lot of people are. I mean, just look at the – if you look at the front office personnel, I mean, outside of Carolina and Seattle and Denver, the Browns probably had one of the five biggest crowds, both for Hugh Jackson and for Sashi Brown, in terms of curiosity. People want to know. Like, the Browns got a number one choice at something, a guy that wanted to come here, their number one choice, a guy that was sought after by just about every team that needed a coach. And he chose Cleveland. Why did he choose Cleveland? People want to know.
Because he's excited about the opportunity. He's excited about what's going on here. And the guy who knows the AFC North very well. And I think we all agree that it certainly is a good thing for the Browns. And now we'll bring in our guy, senior staff writer from ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app, Sir Andrew Gribble. And Gribbs, as the combine really kind of gets underway today with the on-field activities, things kind of settled down here. What have been kind of the big takeaways from the early days for you?
I mean, I would say I think the Browns are among the top teams here just in terms of intrigue with what's going on, because I think when you have a team like the Titans at number one that are clearly not going to take a quarterback, it kind of – and it makes it look like they're going to take Laremy Tunsil. It doesn't seem like there's much drama around that first pick. The most drama always surrounds a team that's probably going to draft a quarterback early in the draft, and that's
sure.
And that's the Browns at this point. And the fact that there's such divisive opinions on these two quarterbacks, Wentz and Goff, and then, you know, in our interview with John Clayton just a little bit ago off to the side, he mentioned, you know, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing that's out there now, that if the Browns aren't even interested in that at all, they're going to have their name lumped with Colin Kaepernick because it's currently a team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback, and someone's going to get Colin Kaepernick if he wants out of San Francisco, and the Browns are in that small group of people who might be interested according to reports, but we'll just have to see. I think it's still more likely that quarterback comes from the draft, but tomorrow is the big day where we see these guys throw. Whether or not that it creates much separation between the two, probably not. Probably won't have that much of an impact on the Browns draft board, but we'll just have to see. And it's starting to shape up like we're probably not going to have a clear idea who the Browns are taking until that draft day comes up.
And it's good, though. Are you getting the sense that I had that people like these two quarterbacks enough that it seems like it's going to be kind of a pick your flavor as opposed to only one of them really is going to end up being good?
Yeah, it's a good situation because I don't think it's as good as probably last year's situation that the Titans and Buccaneers found themselves
sure.
in. I mean, that was kind of a rare year to have two kind of – and even though at this time last year, there was a lot of concerns about Mariota, and he ended up delivering in a big way and looks like he's poised to be on
track.
Well,
there were concerns about Winston and the whole off-field.
Sure.
It was Mariota questions on the field and Winston questions off of it.
And the refreshing thing for both these guys, there doesn't seem to be a single red flag off the field with either of these guys.
Nope.
The one concern with Wentz is the competition level. And Goff, it's the hands. It's just kind of he would be coming to a different style offense. He'd have to really engross himself, have to play under center, things like that. But he seems like he's capable in that. So these two guys aren't slam dunks, but they're very solid, and it's number two is a good draft position to be in for either of these guys. And I think I've come away with the takeaway on this that I don't think two is a reach for either of these guys. Like where you're debating in that, because we all know quarterbacks get a little bit of an exception with the whole best player available model. I don't think there's that many players who are definitely better football players than those two guys to feel like you're making a reach at number two.
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to say that they're both top 10 overall prospects. So if a quarterback's in the top 10 and you need a quarterback, it doesn't feel like a reach. And at the end of the day, if they turn out, as I've always said, to be your guy for a decade, you could have taken him number one overall and it wouldn't be a reach. You know, that's the position.
Yeah, and there's that I don't remember what year it is, but the draft that everyone always uses as the example of why you shouldn't reach on a quarterback, the year with, what is it, Locker,
Ponder, Gabbert.
Yeah, and Gabbert. I don't see the top talent level at the other positions to make me think that taking a quarterback would be a mistake at number two.
Yeah, I think, and you just look at the National Football League in general. When you get the quarterback, it matters. Having the best players at certain positions, yeah, it's important and it's nice, but you got to get that quarterback. The Raiders, with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, to be fine. They'd probably be similar to what they are, you know, without Derek Carr. But having Derek Carr, that's why that franchise is so optimistic about their ability to take that leap forward.
Well, a team I keep looking at that has benefited from having just simply, you know, not even an elite quarterback, but a quarterback in place. That's one team, and I think Cincinnati. When they got Dalton in place, they've been drafting around him to the point where we were talking about this before the show. Their first two picks last year were two offensive linemen that they didn't even need to see the field. Yeah. And they were one of the NFL's best teams last year because they've been able to draft around a quarterback, not have to draft a quarterback outside of maybe A.J. McCarron in the fifth round just getting a backup. But they've been able to use these top picks on great players at other spots in the field, and that's what you want. That's why getting a quarterback in place is so important. It's not just for this year. It's for future drafts and years to come.
Yeah, and hopefully having a good quarterback elevates the play of everybody around them, elevates the whole team atmosphere, changes the tone of the team, the tenor of the team, and that's something that the Browns certainly need to do. And Sasha was asked a lot about that yesterday in terms of, you know, how do you change the culture that has plagued the Browns for so very long?
Yeah, this team just needs, I think it needs to get on the field and start winning games. I don't know how we're going to measure that this first year. I think the expectations outside are going to be pretty low, but it seems like internally the expectations are going to be high, and it's not setting a number, a hard number on wins and losses. It's just about seeing that this team is heading in the right direction, which is what we thought we saw in 2014, but clearly it just was not heading in that right direction with what we saw this past season.
Clearly not, Gribbs. Indeed. You'll have everybody covered at clevelandbrowns.com. The Browns will blap on the latest, talking about the receiver project, prospects, Joey Bosa, and everything that he said in his press conference today after he let it off with the famous sup. He was pretty good out there today. So, Gribbs, follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. Get on clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Thank you, Gribbs.
No problem.
All right, when we come back, the man, the notorious VIC, is back, and he'll wrap up our coverage from the Combine on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tito! Yes, the great sounds of Notorious. And now the great sounds of the Notorious VIC, Vic Carucci. Vic, we've been having a lot of fun here in Indianapolis together, but it's great to have you on the show that you birthed from your loins.
So last night, Nathan and I were out having some chocolate milk, whatever, you know, just hanging out and pineapple juice. We're having a little pineapple juice, and at one point he makes reference to CBD, and he says the show you birth from your loins, and he does takes his two hands inside his thighs to make
and
the
birth
enunciate the point, and then thrusts his hands forward. And I almost fell over from the pineapple juice.
We did have a good time last night. We're out, me, you, Jason Lockenfora from CBS, having a good time out there at the Capitol Grill. And, you know, this is such a cool event. I was talking with John Clayton earlier, who we saw out last night as well.
And out and about.
Just to have everybody in the NFL in one place talking football, and it's just what it is. Everybody's just kind of hanging out talking football.
The greatest, I always say, the greatest value of this week and in all the years I've been coming here, the years with the Browns, before that NFL.com, Buffalo News, is the football convention that it is. And you pick up a lot of stuff here. A lot of knowledge is shared.
Absolutely.
And people, I think, are more People want to talk about this thing. They're not tired of talking about football.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's amazing how quickly they get excited to talk about it after the Super Bowl. But what's kind of been the biggest thing that you've learned here this week?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that it's not a top-heavy draft. You don't see the real star attraction. I know the quarterbacks are always important and drawing attention, but nowhere near what we've had in previous years. And I think back to some of the quarterbacks who've been at the podium and commanded. You think of RG3. You think of Andrew Jameis. Luck and Jameis Winston last year, as recently as last year, and there's like that thing, that star, where people are hanging on every word. I don't sense that with Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. I think they're good, probably good players, but the universal thought I get from scouts, coaches, is that it's a deep draft, not necessarily a star-laden draft.
Especially deep along the defensive line.
Especially
that's what people are saying.
Line.
Yeah, that's a place that teams can finally get, you know, in the third round, maybe get a first-round value in other years because it is just so deep there.
Absolutely.
As for the quarterbacks, what are you hearing about these two guys? Because I came here, obviously I'm still a Jared Goff guy for the reasons that, you know, you and I discussed. But I'm leaving here feeling that whichever way they go, the Browns are going to get a pretty good player.
That's my sense, too. And I was just Andrew Gribble and I were talking before I came on for the segment, and he was at, what am I hearing? And I said, you know, it's not about what you hear. I think logic dictates to me you're picking second overall. The need is there. You don't overthink this. Now, you've got to think about making the choice.
Sure.
But it's quarterback, period. And I'm with you on this. I see no real downside with Goff. Naturally, I'm going to slightly disagree with you because I think that's what we always do, especially on quarterbacks. But my sense of Carson Wentz, and maybe some of this is driven by the fact that I was at the Senior Bowl and really studied him there, the guy just looks so natural in everything he does. And he's, even though he's the taller, pretty tall as 6'5". Quarterbacks go, 6'5", in the 230s, he doesn't look like a beanpole. He looks solid, and his movement, his footwork, the shoulders, the hand, the delivery. And I asked a bunch of quarterback knowledgeable types what they thought when they saw him in those practices down in Mobile, and they said they really saw, in many ways, an NFL-ready guy coming from a smaller program, and that's the big hurdle he has to overcome.
Sure.
But his level of confidence and knowledge doesn't impress me as a guy who the NFL would be too big for.
Absolutely. Let's talk quickly about Sashi. I know you've known him for a long time with the Browns. This was his first opportunity to get in front of the national media. What have your cronies been saying about Sashi?
Handled himself very, very well. Sashi gets high marks. And Sashi wasn't a completely unknown quantity because of the work he did with Jacksonville before joining the Browns. And I'm a big fan of his. And a lot of people have asked me about him. And I say I think he's more than capable of being in this oversight role, because his greatest strength in my opinion is being a consensus builder.
Yep.
I think he knows how to do that, call the best knowledge and fact finding that he can get from those around him, maximize that and come to a decision. I think as much as anything, that's the most important role he has in leading the football operation.
Absolutely. Do you get a sense, and your own take, you know, you can be completely objective these days as you observe the Cleveland Browns from afar. Do you feel like
they got to do something about this radio show? No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Got to bring it back. Do you feel like that maybe through all the hardship that the Browns fans have had to endure, that getting Hugh Jackson has finally put them in a position to maybe crawl and climb their way out of it?
I feel that, Nathan, to this extent. He was the number one coaching candidate out there. The fact the Browns landed him means something. You can't ignore that. And that resonated with a lot of people nationally. You asked me what I'm hearing. That's the biggest thing, is there was a lot of respect for Hugh, a lot of good feeling for what he could bring to a team, that he was more than overdue for this opportunity. And the fact that the Browns sold it to him and that he bought it is a big deal.
Absolutely. Notorious, always a pleasure. We'll have to go and get some more pineapple juice one more time.
Let's do it.
I think I need a nap to get ready for
Jason
one more
Gibbs
night. Gibbs is out of here.
I'm hearing Dino's voice in the background, and I love that. All my familiar guys.
That's right. It's always a pleasure having you here and getting to see you
at this NFL
game. Yeah, miss you too as well.
Right.
As you know, we got emotional. Sometimes it gets
emotional
when there's
hugs,
the drinks.
Tears.
Notorious, not afraid.
I'm not sure what we're emotional about.
You're not afraid to publicly emote, and I love that. I'm not either.
Do you want me to cry right now?
No, don't do it. No. Hold it together for later tonight. Later tonight, Dick Vermeil. All right, that'll do it for our coverage live from the Combine. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. They are coming up next. And want to thank everybody, all the people who, John Clayton, Notorious VIC, Sal Palantonio, Lewis Riddick, Jason Cole, Greg Cosell. The list goes on and the beat goes on and the beat goes on. Yeah. Of course, Sir Andrew Gribble. For his contributions as well. That'll do it for us from Indy. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.